Dr. Mosai. Let's begin. So first of all, it's wonderful to see everyone again. Hope everyone is having an enjoyable summer, Baruch Hashem. And of course, a thank you to Yona and to Shushi for hosting. So one of the purchases I made while I was in Eretz Yisrael is that there's a wonderful set of Svarim, a set of Chumashim, with Rabbi Nachman's Likutei Halachos, arranged according to the Parsha. Very, very beautiful set. Likutei Halachos, we were learning Likutei Moharan, so Likutei Halachos is, you know, literally, it sounds like a halachic work, but as you already know from our learning with Rabbi Nachman, everything of Rabbi Nachman ultimately comes back to a Torah Sanister, comes back to the hidden dimensions of Torah. So this, I saw this actually in our Yarchei Kala, when we stopped in the Breslov Shul in Tzfat. So I saw this set of Chumashim on one of the shelves there, and I was looking all over for it. Mamish all over for it. No, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. So you know when you're by the Kotel, so you know there are two sets of stairs that you can take. I'm sorry.
Across from the apartment.
So I always take the further step, the further set of stairs, like the ones that lead you right into the row of us. But for whatever the reason, this time it was Sunday. We took the other side flight of stairs. We walk up. You know, you walk up the stairs. You make a left. You pass right by Eishes Torah. You take a couple of more sets of flights. I walk out. There's this guy, this Breslov Chassid, sitting over there, like literally with a wagon in front of his apartment. And I see all of these Likutei Moharan sitting over there. So I figure I stop over there. This is an amazing maisa. So I see this set of Chumashim. And I get very excited because, you know, I've been looking for it literally since the Yarchei Kala. So I pick it up. The first thing my wife says is, okay, who's carrying that back to the apartment? So this is an amazing maisa. So it happened to be, I wanted it, but I couldn't buy it because they weren't going back home yet. So I had, whatever. So listen to this. So this chassid tells me, he says, look, he says, if you like it, come back tomorrow. I'm not going to be here, but the wagon will be here. You can just take the svarim. I said, but how do I pay you? He said, you know what? You could just leave the money in the wagon and just write on it your name and write on it what you took, and it will be settled like that. So wait, it gets better. So while I was there, I bought that Rabbi Nachman has a commentary on Tehillim. So I give a shiur on Tehillim throughout the year. So I got very excited about it. So I bought it. And this chassid, he takes the money. And before he even like does anything, he folds up the bills in his hand. He goes like this, he says, Hodu LaHashem ki tov ki li olam chasdo. And he thanks the Ribono Shel Olam right there on the spot for making a sale of a sefer of Rabbi Nachman on Tehillim. Just, you know, we all learn about Emunah, and we learn Rabbi Nachman's Torah. It's amazing when you see just like a Pashat Yid in the alleys of Yerushalayim. I don't know what he does for a living, what he doesn't do for a living, but just absolutely amazing. So Baruch Hashem, so I get to share this Mitziah with all of you today. So let's take a look. There's a beautiful piece, and of course, Hodul Hashem Kito Kiyol Al Chazdo. So I want to share with you, and of course, we dedicate our learning tonight to the victims of terror in France in this latest barbaric act of just of epic proportions. Every time, you know, we think that we've seen the darkest side that mankind, the darkest evil that mankind can visit upon his fellow, we see something else over here. And so we dedicate our learning, Le'ilui Nishmas, all of those who were killed, also as a zechus of Rechu Hashem for all those who were injured. And there were a number of Jews who are missing or injured in the attack as well. Alex ben Yael, Moshe ben Yaakov, Clara bas Nunya, Yonatan ben Zuzi, in the hope then of the merit of our Talmud Torah, that they should have a complete refu and be returned to their families, Bekarav. So let's take a look. I want to share with you, this is Mamisha, a truly magnificent piece. So remember, the Pasuk says, now the Pasuk, you're going to see, the Pasuk that we're referencing over here is the Pasuk of the Bartim El HaSela. So remember again, one of the most dramatic pieces that happens in Parshas Chukas is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu to go ahead and to hit the rock. But excuse me, Hashem Baruch Hu commands. I'm sorry, a little bit jet lag. So Hashem Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock, but Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and hits the rock. So here the part of the Dibartim Hashem Baruch Hu tells Avram and Moshe and Aaron explicitly, I want you to speak to the rocks. Look what the Rebbe says. He says, Misha eino mishtada lehisbodid, uledaber beino lebein kono, leorer libo lehashem yisbarach. So, the topic over here that Rabbi Nachman is going to be discussing in this piece from Likutei Halachos, and you can see over here if you skip to the end, you see that this is taken out of the laws of Nesias Kapayim, the laws of Duchening. So as you see, as we go through Likutei Halachos, we're going to be going back and forth between Likutei Halachos and Likutei Maharan. So, you'll notice that again, even Rabbi Nachman speaks Halacha, so the general thing that Rabbi Nachman is focused on, which is much of the topic that is in the Torah's Hanistar, is Shleimus HaAdam. How does man become complete? Let's say, you know, we're all completed, we're all created incomplete. By definition, there's no one of us that's Shalim. Every single person is Chaser. Every single person is deficient in some way. You know, I think I mentioned this before, there's the famous Zvarta of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim said, I definitely must have mentioned this before, if you all know it, just stop me. Chafetz Chaim says, we say in Berei Nefashos, Berei Nefashos Rabos, V'chasronam. The Chafetz Baruch Hu creates many different Nefashos, many different people, V'chasronam, and their deficiencies. So the Chafetz Chaim asks, what's the pshat? This bracha is supposed to be a shalach, it's supposed to be a praise of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I'm praising God by saying to Him that what He created was deficient, meaning try this at home. Dinner was delicious, but you know, the meat was a little undercooked. Everything was excellent, but you know, I think next time you might want to put in a little bit more salt. Or you know, I saw there were a couple of stains on the tablecloth. You know, try that. You get to try it once, maybe at most. But, so what's the pshat? Here I'm trying to give shabach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet, again, I say, Borei Nefashos Rabos V'chesronam. So the Chafetz Chaim says something amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us chaser. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us deficient by design. What does it mean, deficient by design? See, if every single person was complete, then we wouldn't need each other. We wouldn't need each other, right? If I'm self-sufficient, I don't need you. And if you're self-sufficient, you don't need me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be interdependent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to need to rely on each other. The only way God could ensure that we rely on each other is to make sure that no man is an island, to make sure that no person is self-sufficient, that every single person is chas. That's the Chafetz Chaim. So in the Torah's Hanistar, in what we call the hidden dimensions of the Torah, there's a deeper idea as well, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us deficient in order that ultimately, again, we should be able to partner with Him in the creative process. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to us like this, I've gone ahead and I've created you. I've created your guf, I've given you a neshama, right? I've given you 95% of the building blocks. You have to take what I've given you, and you have to build on it. Meaning, God have given you the foundation, now it's up for you, man, to create the edifice on top of that foundation. That's, therefore, life in its entirety is a quest for Shlemus. So we'll say, by the way, you see this, I think I mentioned this before. Also, I always find it amazing, whenever you see, like, these movie stars, right, these movie stars who have incredible wealth and incredible fame. So if you notice again, after they've made their millions, billions, and won their Emmys, so what do they all turn towards? Right, so, religion of some sorts, right? So if you're Tom Cruise, it's Scientology, right? And if you're Madonna, it's Kabbalah. And it's interesting. Like, what's the pshat? Tom Cruise, you've got, you know, more money than whatever, right? You've got more fame than whatever. Scientology, I mean, it's such a strange thing. What's the pshat? So it's a very simple vart, because see, everyone I know that I'm chaser. The difference is, I think that there are certain things that are going to make me feel shalim. So the thing that most people think will make them feel shalim ultimately is what? Ultimately is money. Is money. If I only had more money, I would feel complete. If I only had more stuff, if I only owned more, if I only could experience more, if I could take a bigger vacation, a longer vacation, a this, that, if I could go here, I feel shalim. Then what happens? One day, a person is privileged to have all that, and guess what happens? I still feel chaser. This is the great challenge of life. Trying to figure out how to be memale de chisaron with the right things. How do I fill the void in a way that literally will make me feel shalom? Because if I end up trying to fill the void with the wrong things, person spends a lifetime trying to be shalim, and yet again, never captures that feeling. That's why so much of Rabbi Nachman's writings, and it's Chassidus in general, is focused on how do I become a shalim person? How do I become complete? So good that Rabbi says here. He says, first step, and we'll learn the words, and then we'll tie it together a theme. Mishen mishtadel, left hand paragraph, pasuk chesed, dibar tamal asela. Mishenu mishtadel lehisbodet uledaber beino lebein kono. So someone who does not attempt lehisbodet. So we'll say, what does lehisbodet mean? Hisbodetus. Hisbodetus means time alone with oneself. A person who does not have time alone with himself. Uledaber beino lebein kono. Time to speak between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, no, this is a big problem for us. You know why? Because we're never alone. We're never alone. Why are we never alone? Because Mamish, the love of my life. Mamish, the love of my life, right? She's with me all the time. Right? She never talks back. Right? She goes wherever I want to go, does whatever I want to do. Right? Whatever makes me happy makes her happy. Right? And Mamish, it's incredible. It's incredible. So let's say the problem, of course, is we're never alone with ourselves.
Let's take the podcast.
Yes, it's a phone. Yes. I'm referring to the phone. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. My wife sometimes listens to the podcast also. No, really, good. Thank you. So what's the problem? The problem is, says the Rebbe, the person has to have time for his bodhidus. Person has to have time. Also, can you imagine this, by the way? Can you imagine 10 minutes in your day where everything is shut off? Everything is shut off, and it's just you alone with yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I used to be, remember the good old days before cell phones? You had this built-in time when? In your car. Right? Mamish, it used to be that your car, people used to do incredible thinking in your car, right? Because there's nothing to say, what are you going to do? You can listen to some music, but you had a spodidus. So the Rebbe says, Mishin Mishtadol Hispodet, person who doesn't try for a spodidus, sometime alone with himself, Uladaber beino lebein kono, to speak between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo'orer libo laHashem yisbarach, to awaken my heart for Hashem. So Rabbi Nachman is saying is the following. The heart sometimes is dormant. The lave has so much power, and the lave has so much potential, just sometimes the lave is asleep. The lave is asleep. So how do you awaken the lave? How do you awaken the heart? The Rebbe posits his bodidus. When you take time to be with yourself, when you take time to talk to yourself, when you take time to talk to your heart, and you say, heart, what are we going to do? Right? Heart, what are we going to accomplish? Heart, what do we want to be when we grow up? Heart, how are we going to grow? How are we going to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If a person doesn't take that time for his bodidus, ze bechinas machlokes. Then a person, says the Rebbe, is living in a state of machlokes. We'll say, what does it mean, a state of machlokes? Because here's the issue. My mouth, and my moach, my mind, want one thing. But what's the problem? If I don't take the time to awaken my heart, then my heart is not on the same level, not on the same page as my mind and my mind. Is my mind and my mouth. So if the mind and the mouth can be ready, let's grow, let's do. But unless the mind and the mouth speak to the heart and say, heart, wake up. Time to start beating, time to start pumping, time to be on fire, time to be passionate. Let's serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then a person is in a state of machlokes, internal machlokes. The mouth and the mind want one thing. The heart doesn't necessarily want something opposite, but the heart is indifferent. The heart is parid. The heart has not been awakened. Bechinas chalak libam, ki libo chalak mipiv. Because my heart is on a different page, ultimately, again, than my mouth. Mebechinas hanekuda hakidosha, shehu bechinas pi yedaber chachmos. V'chein. So we'll say, so this is the first level. Says Rabbi Nachman. The first thing that a person, in order to attain shleimus, the first thing that a person has to do is, I have to awaken my heart to have Avodas Hashem. Because sometimes intellectually, you know, I know I want something. I can even articulate what it is that I want. But unless I take the time, to go ahead and awaken my heart, unless I take time to awaken my heart. And how do I awaken my heart? Hispodus. We'll say, you understand what hispodus is? You see, okay, you could be a real Breslov Chasson, you could go into the forest and scream out. But you don't have to do that for hispodus. Hispodus is taking time by yourself, with yourself, to clarify, what do I want out of life? What do I... You see, we become so focused on getting through the day that we forget to ask ourselves, what do I want out of life? Listen, I can't tell you, you know, one of the privileges I have is being with people literally in their final moments of life. If I tell you how often it occurs that people express remorse and regret about the things that they didn't get to do. And I don't mean like, you know, like parasailing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that people have real dreams and real aspirations and real things they want to accomplish, and they didn't do it. And why didn't they do it? It's not because they didn't care, because they were lazy. It's because they never took the time to articulate what their real life goals were. Because we are so fixated and so focused on the here, the now, the day. I got to accomplish this today. I got to work through this. I got to get through the week. And then the month. And then the... What about life? What are my goals? They'll say, how many of us, if somebody were to ask us right now, write down your top three goals in order of importance for your life. Meaning after 120, these are the three things that you want to have accomplished. And you can't say things like be holy. Right? You have to be specific. Like, what do you want to accomplish? Say, I would venture to say most of us could not rattle off the three things in ascending importance of what we want to accomplish in life. It's not because we don't care. It's because we don't take the time to think about these things. Because the truth is, I'm so fixated on carpool, paying tuition, right, paying my bills, trying to close the deals, which are all legitimate things that I have to focus on, that who has the time to think about life goals when I'm just trying to get through the day? The problem is, if there's no hisbodidus, and there's no time with myself, and there's no contemplation about life goals, then what happens? The mind and the mouth are on one level, and what happens? The heart has remained dormant. The heart is asleep. The heart is not awake. Why? Because it's just never been awakened by the mouth and by the moach. And the Rebbe says, that's machlokes. That's internal machlokes. That's step number one. So step number one, if a person wants to become shalim, what the Rebbe will call, person has to be lihios shalim ba'atzmo. Person has to be shalim with himself. And shlemus with myself means that I awaken my heart. I get my heart on the same level as my mind and my mouth. I know what I want to accomplish in life. I know what I want to do. I know what I want to be. I know how I want to grow. And the only way, Rabbi Osai, to ultimately come to these realities and come to these truths is every single day to think about where I want to go and what I want to do in life. Rabbi Osai, you know, you don't have to spend 3 hours in his hispodidus, right? Person could spend 5 minutes, 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day to go ahead and just close off everything, close my eyes, or take a walk, or just sit quietly and just literally think about what do I want out of life. That's the first step to shleimus. Next, the Rei, kishechas v'shalom ein shalom b'Yisrael, says it, but furthermore, when there's not shalom in Klal Yisrael, get ready for the Torah, says, v'afilu kishein machlokes, Rak she'in ha'ava she'beinehem b'shlimus, az inam yecholun ledaber ze'im ze karo'i, ula'ha'ir ze' ba'ze' or ha'nekuda kidosha. Next step, says Rabbi Nachman, to achieving shlimus, is there has to be, a person has to be lihios shalim im zulaso. You have to be complete with the other. So as it says Rabbi Nachman, so people think that in order to be complete with my fellow Jew, I just can't have machlokas. Says Rabbi Nachman, you know that the absence of machlokes does not equate with avas Yisrael. Meaning, I cannot have machlokes with someone, but I don't like them. I don't like them. I don't have any desire to be with them. I don't have any desire to interact with them. I'm not fighting. I'm not even angry. I'm not spiteful. I have no animosity. The Rebbe says that's not enough. To achieve a real level of shlemus, a person has to be in a state of Ava. As in, because what happens if there's no Ava? As inam yichon ledaber ze im ze keroi. We'll say where there's no Ava, where there's no love, ultimately it's impossible to go ahead and speak to another Jew the way there has to be. So we'll say the second level of shleimus is there has to be avas yisro. We have to work on ourselves to be able to love every Jew. And we'll say, no, it's not easy. It's not easy to love every Jew because we're not an easy people. We're just not, right? Some of us are pushy, and some of us are aggressive, and some of us are rude, and some of us are difficult, and some of us are always trying to finagle, right? And sometimes it's very difficult to love every member of Klal Yisrael. But I will say, those things in life that are meaningful are often difficult. Just because something is difficult doesn't mean that it's not obligatory. This is the second stage of Rabbi Nachman. It says, after a person reaches a state of shleimus ba'atzmo, person has to reach a state of shleimus bizaluso, with his fellow. I have to be able to know that not only that I could coexist with another Jew, but I have to be able to love every single Jew. So this, I can't tell you how important this is. And I'm just going to remember, every single Jew doesn't mean a person says, sure, I love every Jew on my block, right? I love every Jew in Beezer. You know, I love every Jew. You know, of course, I love every Jew in my shul. I love every Jew. That's not what it's talking about, right? It means that I love every Jew in Baltimore Hebrew. And I love every Jew in Satmar. And I even love the guys who, in the Torah Karta, who march, and every single time APAC or someone else is doing something in Washington. You have to love those people also, we'll say. I could vehemently disagree with them. I could say they're mamish off their rocker with the stuff that they're doing, and I could even say they're actively hurting Jewish interests. I still love them. The same way that even when my kids do stuff that I really disapprove of, I still love them. Nothing takes away from that love. We'll say, this is a very high level. Right, to love every single Jew with an unconditional love. Next, Mikol Shekein, Kishecholkin. Now, this is a derivative of the Shleimus Imzuluso, Imzulaso. He says, furthermore, Mikol Shekein, Kishecholkin Chas V'Shalom Ala Tzadik HaEmes, Shu Iker Nekuda HaKalish LeYisrael. The Rebbe will say, a person has to be so careful to not ever have any kind of machlokes with the Tzadik HaEmes. Who is the Tzadik HaEmes? So remember, again, Rabbi Nachman is commenting on this. It happens to be in Parshas Chukas, by the whole episode of Mei Meriba, where Klal Yisrael essentially is being cholek on Moshe Rabbeinu. They're arguing on Moshe. So that, you know, I don't know what qualifies as a Tzadik HaEmes. I don't know who qualifies as a Tzadik HaEmes. Let's just go with the Moshe Rabbeinu paradigm for now. Ukishacholkin alav. We'll say because when you're a cholek, ultimately again, on the Tzadik HaEmes, as ein yicholin lekabel or hanakuda shelo. We'll say this is an incredible yisod. When you're in a state of machlokas with the tzaddik, you're unable to get any of his Torah, any of his or, any of his. Well, so this is an incredible yisod. You know, one of the greatest challenges that we have in contemporary society is, you know, there's a fundamental breakdown of respect for authority, and specifically religious authority. Meaning people love to find fault with leaders. So you know, it doesn't, Baltimore is a wonderful community. It's not like that here. In other communities, it often happens where, what happens? You know, you hear this all the time. A person says, oh, you know, the rabbi's speeches, they're terrible. Right? He's so uninspiring. So uninspiring. So see, you have to understand something. If a person disparages a rav, a person puts down a rav, you know what happens when you're cholik on the tzaddik. So ultimately, again, you can't receive any of his Torah. See, I often say to people when they say that a particular person is not so inspiring, I say it could very well be the problem is not with the rav or with the rebbe, right? The problem often is with the Talmud. Because if I have a less than respectful attitude, or if I'm disparaging of the tzaddik, and again, I'm using the term tzaddik very expansively, but ultimately, again, if you're disparaging of the person who's trying to convey to you Torah, then by definition, Rabbi Nachman says, you can't receive his Torah. Which I will say, by the way, without getting even so esoteric, it's a very simple explanation. Because ultimately, if I disparage someone, essentially what that means is, I pretty much, what's the right word? I'm sorry.
I wrote him off.
Meaning, right? I've I've written the person off. So by definition, their words are not going to really have any kind of impact on me. Rabbi Nachman is phrasing this in a much more esoteric fashion. He's saying when you're cholik on the tzaddik, you can't receive the aura of the tzaddik. Rabbi said, this is why, by the way, you should know. This statement, when I read this again this afternoon, it dawned on me. This is the whole answer to the entire Jewish problem in the desert, right? We never understand the narrative of the Dor HaMidbar. Doesn't make any sense. How could it be that you have Moshe Rabbeinu at your helm? How could it be that he's at your helm and you build the eagle and you go ahead and you have the meraglim and you complain about the slav and you complain about the what? How could that be Moshe? Can you imagine, Osai, if we had Moshe Rabbeinu with us? Can you imagine? We'd be sitting literally at his feet, drinking of his Torahs, open mouths, right? Feed us, give us more Rebbe, give us more Rebbe. That's what we would do. He had Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 years. What's the pshat? But now it makes sense. Because you know what happened? Our ancestors, unfortunately, wrote off Moshe Rabbeinu very early on. From the times that they first went ahead and said that he stole from the gold and silver contributed to the Mishkan, and from the time that they accused him of adultery, because how could any mortal man live a celibate life? At those moments, they wrote him off. So therefore, by definition, they really didn't receive his R. They didn't receive his light. They never received his Torah. So that's how it happens. You could have a Moshe Rabbeinu at your home. You could have a Moshe Rabbeinu as your Rebbe or as your Rebbe, whichever one you want to term Moshe Rabbeinu as. And Lemaisa, you could get absolutely nothing from him if you're cholik on him. Because the moment that you're cholik, the moment that you disparage, the moment that you write him off, by definition, you can't receive any of his R. He goes on. Ulefamim, miskaber pegam hamachlokes kolkach, and sometimes, again, what could happen is, chas v'shalom, the people, there could become so much machlokes within the ranks of the people. As well say, if I'm not shalom ba'atzmi, if I'm not internally complete, if there's internal machlokes, and there's interpersonal machlokes, there could sometimes be so much machlokes that there is a trickle-up effect. That the machlokes within the people could actually impact the leadership as well. That the tzaddik himself could become misbalbel, could become mixed up from the incredible machlokes that he sees occurring all around him. The yuchal ligrom chas v'shalom histalkos ha-tzaddik ayideizeh. V'zegaram, mashenichshal Moshe b'hakas ha-tzor ayideh machlokes, kima'amar abosin uzal. V'al yideizeh, lohich neses yisrael lo'oretz, shemizeh nimshach kol ha-kilkulim v'ha-galuyos. So look at what the Rebbe says, something absolutely amazing. See, what the Rebbe is answering over here is, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake like he made? Here, God tells him explicitly what? God tells him explicitly, speak to the Rebbe, v'dibartem el ha-sela. And what happens? What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He hits it. Not only does he hit it once, he hits it twice. What's the pshat? Rabbi Nachman is bothered by Aaron's name. The Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu gives you, right, an afen atziva. He gives you an explicit command to speak to the rock. What is the problem? Why did you mess this up? The Rebbe says, it's very simple. Because there was so much machlokes in Klal Yisrael. What was the machlokes? Number one, there was machlokes ba'atmusam. There was, each person had internal machlokes. Why? Because the mind, the moach, and the peh, the mind and the mouth were saying one thing, but the people didn't take the time for esbodidus, for contemplation, to awaken the heart. Therefore, there was internal machlokes. The heart was dormant, and the mouth and the mind were doing their own thing. There was internal machlokes. Furthermore, there was interpersonal machlokes. We'll say, why was it interpersonal machlokes? Because it's not enough just to not hate each other. It's not enough just not to fight with each other. But rather, what Avas Yisrael means is that we actively love each other. There wasn't that. Furthermore, again, they were cholik on the tzaddik. Right? And when you're cholik on the tzaddik, when you disparage the tzaddik, you can't receive his R. But we'll say, so much machlokes. What happens when there's so much machlokes? The trickle-up effect, that even the tzaddik is misvalbel. Even the tzaddik can't function normally in a culture, in a world, in a nation, where there is so much machlokes. Moshe Rabbeinu becomes misbalbel, becomes mixed up, becomes disoriented and confused because of the internal machlokes, interpersonal machlokes, leadership machlokes, that he makes the tragic mistake of hitting the rock instead of speaking to it. And look what the Rebbe says. Shenizen nimshach kolakil kulim bagaloyos. Remember, this one act, the Gemara says that had Moshe Rabbeinu taken us into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash originally, and that Beis HaMikdash could have never been destroyed. There would have been no gavos, no destruction, nothing. So meaning, this episode over here, this bilbul, this whole machlokis that caused this bilbul of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what caused all of our future difficulties, all of our future catastrophes, all of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'chein hu b'chol dar v'adar. And this is Rabbi Nachman, the same scene repeats itself generation after generation. Hashem Yisbarach Yirachim V'yitakin HaKol HaTov. So before we close that last line, so the Rebbe is teaching us here, three, besides giving us a beautiful insight, beautiful tragic insight into Moshe Rabbeinu's behavior, for the first time I feel like I understand a little bit about Moshe Rabbeinu's mistake, why he made his mistake. The bilbul of Moshe Rabbeinu was the impact ultimately again of multi-layered machlokes occurring within the people. But I will say, for our purposes also, there's a very strong take-home message. The take-home message is that in order to become shalim, we have to focus in three different areas. Number one, that a person has to be shalim ba'atzmo. I have to be shalim. Being shalim inside means that I have to know what I want out of life. And I have to know ultimately what I want to be, what I want to accomplish. So if somebody were to ask me, what are the top three things you want to accomplish in this life? Then I have to be able to rattle those off because I have a clear vision about who I want to be, about what I want to do. And the only way to do that, says the Rebbe, is hisbodidus. Person has to take time with themselves, even 5 minutes every single day, just to quiet your mind, to quiet yourself, to awaken your heart, to make sure that your heart is on the same page, ultimately again, as your mind and as your mouth. That's step number one. Step number two in Shleimus is Avas Yisrael. People say, it's not enough just to say, good news, I don't hate anyone. I mean, that's a good start, not to hate anyone. It's certainly a maila. But rather, we have to aspire mamish to love one another. That's the goal, to work on ourselves to be able to have a profound Avas Yisrael. And step number three is to be able to have respect for Torah leadership, to be able to have a respect for our tzaddikim, however we define that in our day and age, and to recognize that even sometimes the tzaddik will say things that I don't agree with or that I just, but okay, but I trust in the power of the tzaddik. And at the end of the day, again, I believe that if I put my trust in him, that he can help to show me to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the three levels, says Rabbi Nachman, ultimately again, to becoming a complete and shalom individual. And also, just enough with one piece. I think, even in these words, as I was reading this, you know, the Divrei HaMasril of this piece over here is the Dibartim El HaSela. So perhaps you could suggest, really taking Rabbi Nachman one step further, that what does it mean with Dibartim El HaSela? What's the Sela? What's the Rak? Is the Leif. Sometimes on both sides, the rock is a cellar. The Navi says, right, right, Cheshbaruch says, I'll take from you, right, the lave Evan. I'll take from you ultimately again the heart of rock, the heart of stone, and I'll replace it ultimately again with lave Basar. Rabbi Nachman says, sometimes life for both sides, you know, the quest for Shleimus begins with one simple step. V'dibartem el hasela. Sometimes, you know, it's like lahavdil, if you don't have good health, you know, your arteries could harden. So sometimes, you know, if you don't have good spiritual health, sometimes the heart hardens. And the heart often hardens just because of neglect. Or the heart hardens often just because you don't take the time to speak to it. But if we just take a few minutes every single day to speak to our heart, to get our mind, our mouth, and our heart on the same page, to say, these are my three partners, my peh, my moach, and my lev. Let's talk together for a few minutes. Let's talk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's decide what we want to accomplish, what we want to do out of life. What begins as a cellar, what begins as a heart of rock, could so soon turn to a lev basra, to a heart of flesh. And we ended Rabbi Nachman's final statement, Hashem Yisbarach Yirachim, V'yitakin HaKol HaTov. Halavai we should be zocha, that if we internalize these words of our Holy Rebbe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanos on us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should fix all that is broken. We should be zocha ultimately to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to lift ourselves up, to lift our people up, to lift our world up, and halavai it should all be letova.